Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Developing now, a mass shooting near Texas A&M University. One reported dead, three in hospital critical, and a state trooper shot in a chase. The suspect now in custody. And just 24 hours earlier, mass murder. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
Five dead, including a doctor and two grandchildren in South Carolina. Tonight, investigating two mass shootings yet again in America. Was it fentanyl or an officer's knee that cut off the oxygen? A veteran lung doctor testifies and narrates George Floyd's last moments alive.
That's the moment the life goes out of his body.
Day 9 in the trial of Derek Chauvin. College hazing. A fraternity member charged after police say he sprayed a toxic chemical into a student's mouth. And a new development in the alcohol-fueled death of another pledge last month. A COVID conundrum. Some states with strict measures see their cases rise, while others that dropped mask mandates see their numbers go down. Why? Plus, going underground in Vegas. A college degree from Chipotle. And losing the COVID-19 pounds.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Developing news out of Texas, at least one person is dead after a shooting at a warehouse in the town of Bryan, just a few short miles from Texas A&M University. It happened just a few short hours ago. Cops say at least four people are now critical in the hospital. After a search and a pursuit, they say the suspect is now in custody. They say they believe he was an employee at that warehouse. A Texas trooper now reported shot in nearby Grimes County. According to local reporting, he was chasing the suspect. Officials say he remains in stable condition. These shootings come just hours after the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, slammed the White House's latest push on gun control. In a tweet from his personal account, the governor called it a new liberal power grab to take away our guns. Then, minutes ago, Governor Abbott released this statement saying he and his wife are praying for the victims and their families, and for the law enforcement officer injured while apprehending the suspect. And less than 24 hours ago, another mass shooting in South Carolina, yet again in America. A former NFL player is now reported to have killed five people, including two children, 5 and 9 years old, before he shot himself in the head. The massacre happened last night, we're told, at a house in Rock Hill, 25 miles southwest of Charlotte. Police there say they found the bodies of Dr. Robert Leslie, his wife Barbara, and their grandchildren, Ada and Noah. A fifth victim, James Lewis, found dead outside the home, and a sixth person still unidentified in the hospital with serious injuries. Officials identified the suspect as Philip Adams. They say the 32-year-old shot himself in the head after a standoff with the cops, his father expressing condolences to the victims and saying, "Football bears some of the blame."
He's a good kid. He was a good kid, and he, I think the football messed him up. I don't think he ever did anybody any harm. Well, all I can tell you, we pray for the family.
Officials say they have yet to determine a motive. Now, the investigation. NBC's Ellison Barber tracking that part in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Ellison.
Shepard, one of the 911 calls that came in, a witness who had been outside his home mowing his lawn when he heard gunfire said he thought he heard at least 20 shots. Police say the suspect here had and used two guns of .45 caliber and a 9mm. They say both of them appear to have been legally obtained. Philip Adams forced entry into the Leslie's home, according to police, and shot four inside. All members of the Leslie family, two of them children, both under the age of 10. And he also shot two people who were outside of the house, air conditioning technicians who were there working on a job to fix something with this family's air conditioning unit. One of those air conditioning technicians was a man named James Lewis. He did not survive. A family member told the Associated Press the second technician is named Robert Shook. Police say he is in very critical condition. So far, police have not been able to establish a motive. The sheriff says that there is nothing about this right now that makes sense to any of them. Dr. Robert Leslie was a doctor, a pillar of this community. He was not only someone who had treated patients here for decades, but someone who was closely involved in his church and also camps like one named Camp Joy that focused on helping special needs children and letting them go to camp for a week. He worked there as a physician, volunteered there with his wife. The sheriff released a statement from the Leslie family, and I do want to read some of this to you, Shepherd. It says, "We are truly in the midst of the unimaginable. The losses we are suffering cannot be uttered at this time." They went on to say, though, that because of their faith, they do not grieve without hope. They said that they are enveloped by peace that surpasses all understanding. To that end, our hearts are bent towards forgiveness and peace. They went on to say they are praying for all of the families involved in this, including the suspects' families. One more time, the names of the victims here. They are Robert, Barbara, Ada, Noah, James Lewis, and the surviving victim, Robert Shook. Shepard?
Ellison Barber live on scene. And since March the 16th, just over 3 weeks, there have been at least seven mass killings by guns yet again in America. Today, President Biden outlined a number of executive orders on guns. Later in this news hour, his proposals to limit a certain type of weapons and flagging family members who shouldn't own a firearm at all. Derek Chauvin's knee was like a vice on George Floyd's neck, making it harder to breathe than were he sucking air through a straw, until the end when he couldn't breathe at all. That's part of the extraordinary testimony today from Dr. Martin Tobin, a lung and breathing expert with 45 years experience. Dr. Tobin wrote what's dubbed the Bible on ventilation and breathing, a 1,500-page textbook. Prosecutors used him on two fronts, to explain what happened to George Floyd in his final moments and to attack the defense contention that drugs, especially fentanyl, could have caused George Floyd's death. The doctor watching the crime scene video and counting George Floyd's breaths.
One, two.
His respiratory rate, normal.
It's extremely significant.
Because, he testified, had fentanyl been affecting George Floyd's breathing, the rate would have been reduced by 40%.
So basically it tells you there isn't fentanyl on board. That is affecting his respiratory centers. It's not having an effect on his respiratory centers.
Fentanyl didn't contribute to Floyd's death. He testified the officer's knee on his torso and neck did that. Floyd on the pavement, Chauvin forcing Floyd's left wrist up into his chest.
Forcing it in tight against his chest, forcing it high up. And you have to keep in mind that the opposite side of this is the street. So he was being squashed between the two sides.
He couldn't help himself breathe.
It was almost like a surgical pneumonectomy. It was almost to the effect as if a surgeon had gone in and removed the lung.
The doctor watched the video as the jury looked on and observed George Floyd trying to get air into his lungs, but unable.
He made his own last spontaneous effort to breathe. After that, you can look at the videos and you see he makes no effort to breathe. He makes no breath.
Then the video shows George Floyd was on the street for 3 more minutes. Then officers moved him to the ambulance. And that's when the medics first inserted a breathing tube.
And when they gave him the first breath. And that is a gap of 9 minutes and 50 seconds from when he last took a breath.
The damage, he testified, had already been done.
At the beginning, you can see he's conscious. You can see slight flickering, and then it disappears. So one second he's alive, and 1 second he's no longer. You can see his eyes, he's conscious, and then you see that he isn't. That's the moment the life goes out of his body.
George Floyd died, the doctor testified, from a lack of oxygen as he was pinned face down on the pavement. NBC's Jay Gray is live outside the courthouse in Minneapolis. Jay, what did the defense do with Dr. Martin Tobin on cross-examination?
Yeah, Shep, the defense attorney, Eric Nelson, really questioned not only Dr. Tobin's results, but his methods as well, and stressed that he's a renowned scientist and doctor, and that Derek Chauvin didn't have the luxury of time or his expertise to assess George Floyd that day.
You've taken this case and you've literally boiled it down into a nanosecond.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
When we talk about the biology and the physics of this case, these things are working simultaneously, contemporaneously, all together, right?
That's correct.
In an incredibly rapid fashion.
Yes.
Now look, as the testimony unfolded for hours, Derek Chauvin took notes from the defense table, the jury taking notes as well, and seemed to pay close attention throughout. That's not always been the case during some of the more technical aspects in this trial. It was, though, a very tough day in the courtroom for members of his family as the doctor outlined the final moments of George Floyd's life. Now, look, Shep, there is a long list of possible medical witnesses to testify in this case, experts, including the medical examiner who's expected to take the stand tomorrow.
Jay Gray, live on scene. David Henderson now, civil rights attorney, former prosecutor, CNBC contributor. David, thank you. We were emailing during this Dr. Martin Tobin testimony. It was so powerful to watch. And I wonder from your experience, how would that sort of testimony play with the jury?
Shep, I don't think you can do it any better than Dr. Tobin did it. I was so impressed with his mind. It was so easy to overlook his heart initially. He chose to do this pro bono. A guy like him will normally charge you $700 an hour. That includes travel time. He did a very good job of laying out what did not kill George Floyd, and that was fentanyl or underlying health conditions. The only thing that's a little complicated about what did kill him is he listed four factors, one of which was Derek Chauvin's knee. Hmm.
Dr. Tobin appeared, at least to me, to totally squash the fentanyl argument. Is that the last you expect to hear of it?
Okay, he squashed it for intelligent people, I think, for thoughtful people, and there's no other way for me to say that. But this whole fentanyl argument, I don't think was ever meant to be a rational train of thought. This is appealing more to people who are going to respond to dog whistle terminology. People who think that the elections are rigged might respond to George Floyd dying as a result of ingesting fentanyl. But I never thought it was a serious medical argument.
Jay reported on the defense's cross-examination of that powerful witness. Did they do any damage?
They did not do any damage. And the problem was they took the wrong approach. You don't try to arm wrestle with a gorilla, right? This doctor is very clearly qualified. He knows more than you do about medical stuff, but he gave you an in. He said that four factors contributed to George Floyd's death. Derek Chauvin's knee on George Floyd's neck was only one of those factors. There are three other factors. Given that Derek Chauvin's knee has to be the substantial contributing factor, that's what you should have cross-examined on. There are three other ways it might have caused George Floyd's death that aren't directly attributable to my guy. I don't know why they didn't take that approach. Mm.
David Henderson, thank you. The number of children making their way to the border all alone just hit record numbers last month. Now the Texas governor says one of the facilities caring for some of those migrant kids is a threat and needs to be closed immediately. A busier than usual hurricane season ahead. The brand new forecast for more named storms, and the states just put on high alert over increased chances of landfall. And you can buy pot in Nevada, but you can't light up in public. Now, a possible solution for a state that wants those green tourist dollars.
The facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith, back in 60 seconds.
Imagine bold, naturally aged Tillamook cheddar slices melting over a burger. Eating thick-cut cheddar shreds straight from the bag. It's nice to dream about cheese for a bit. Tillamook cheddar. Extraordinary dairy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Two separate hazing incidents involving, in both cases, the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity. And now one student faces serious charges. Police say a University of Mississippi student seen here sprayed bleach or cleaner into a pledge's mouth during a hazing incident. Authorities have charged James Bose Higgins with aggravated assault. It happened back in October of last year, but the news is just breaking this week. Higgins was expelled from Ole Miss. According to his lawyer, the victim's lawyer says that Higgins asked the victim, who was blindfolded at the time, if he wanted some water. Blindfolded, remember. And instead of spraying the water, he sprayed cleaner. And the victim swallowed, as his lawyer put it, 2 to 3 gulps. The lawyer says he now has serious internal injuries, can't eat a meal normally, and may need surgery. And a development in the death of a Bowling Green State University student and Pike pledge Stone Foltz. A coroner has ruled that it was an accident and that the 20-year-old died of alcohol poisoning after a fraternity induction ritual. Attorneys for his family told a local television station that the ruling didn't involve any witness interviews or any evidence at all, and that it has no value and doesn't impact anything criminally. Foltz's death has sparked a push in Ohio for harsher punishments for hazing. A spring break hotspot returning to normal on a CNBC trip, coast to coast. Florida. Now that spring break is over, so is the 8 p.m. weekend curfew on South Beach. It went into effect last month because of raucous crowds and hundreds of arrests. The mayor of Miami Beach then declared a state of emergency. Get ready for another busy hurricane season. Researchers from Colorado State University are out with their annual forecast for the North Atlantic. They're predicting 17 named storms, 5 more than usual, 8 hurricanes, on average we get 6, and 4 major hurricanes, up from the average 3. And here's a warning, if you live in the Carolinas, researchers say there's a higher chance than average of landfall in your states. Hurricane season officially kicks off June the 1st. Georgia, Shaquille O'Neal getting big props for paying off a stranger's engagement ring. Happened at a Zales jewelry store in Atlanta. The NBA legend says he was in there to buy earrings when he overheard a guy asking how much he had left to pay off the ring. Shaq gave the store clerk his credit card, then shook the guy's hand. He says he's just trying to make someone smile. On a CNBC trip, coast to coast. Well, who doesn't hate being stuck in traffic, right? After a long day at the office, it's the last place anybody wants to be. Come to the rescue, Elon Musk, who thinks he has a solution for cities across the country. His Boring Company, launching what it calls The Loop in Las Vegas. The concept is simple. Take traffic underground into giant tunnels that in the future could stretch for miles across Sin City. CNBC's Contessa Brewer live in Vegas with a first on CNBC look. Hi, Contessa. What can you see?
Hi there, Shep. Well, as you descend the escalator into the Loop station, you see the Teslas waiting to whisk you into a tunnel 43 feet below ground. Now, you might think, all right, it's like a subway. But this is more like a highway underground. And because it's Las Vegas, this is also a thrill ride.
The Las Vegas Convention Center Loop is part thrill ride, part light and sound show, but mostly just a commute across a sprawling convention center.
If there's a show going on and you've got a lot of traffic in the convention center, it can be a 45-minute walk from one end to the other.
The Loop gets you there in less than 2 minutes. Here's how it works. You enter the station and call for a Tesla.
The system operates like an Uber or a Lyft, where you have an app on your phone. You say, I'm here, I want to go there. Car comes up, has an identifier on it that matches with what is on the app on your phone.
Passengers don't have to make multiple stops because there are multiple exits. You go directly to your station of choice. The convention center has 3, but plans are in the works to build a loop system citywide.
I'm looking right now. I mean, there's the Ferris wheel. There's the new sphere under construction. The stadium is out there somewhere waiting to be used. Are you saying that eventually this loop is going to connect people from the airport to downtown to the stadium and everywhere in between?
It will, and that eventually is not that far away.
Construction on this loop was completed in 2 years for a cost of less than $53 million, including the stations. It's designed to handle 4,400 people an hour with 62 cars, right now with drivers, but soon they'll be autonomous. And what happens in Vegas? Likely won't stay in Vegas.
Any place that has congestion issues needs to move people and really can't just keep expanding roadways. Is going to want to look at a system like this because it really makes a difference.
Look, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, D.C. to Baltimore. Hey, Los Angeles to Las Vegas. That's a 4-hour-plus drive that stretches into a 9-hour parking lot on some days. All of this is under consideration for a loop. In Las Vegas, more than 40 destinations have raised their hand saying, yep, we want a station. We'll build it. They're thinking, if you build it, they will come.
And Jeff? I bet they will. Contessa, thank you. That tunnel could become a major attraction, obviously, but Nevada has high hopes to draw in a new wave of tourists, pot smokers. State lawmakers are considering a brand new bill to legalize smoking marijuana in lounges. Think Amsterdam coffee shop or your local bar, but weed instead of beer. If passed, customers would be allowed to bring in their own marijuana to one of these establishments. Of course, weed's been legal in Nevada for years now. But while you can buy pot there and smoke it at home, you can't smoke in public. So no place for tourists. No action yet, but they'll vote by tomorrow or the bill is dead. As we continue to pivot towards something more normal in America, the outlook for live shows and folks pressed shoulder to shoulder in a crowd is so concerning that the government is stepping in. And three small businesses in the same small town, each of them nearly went under during COVID. How they all adapted and hung on to become part of the American comeback.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you think great American companies, it's easy to picture the giants, right? Apple, Ford, McDonald's. But last year, 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S. were actually small businesses. The two largest companies in the country, Walmart and Amazon, employ roughly 2.5 million people combined. But that's just a fraction of the 60 million employed by small businesses. Tonight, we bring you their stories in our series, American Comeback. At the start of the pandemic, CNBC spoke with three entrepreneurs in Port Washington, New York. Their businesses struggling to stay afloat as COVID crippled the whole economy. Now, almost a year later, we're checking back in to see how they're doing. CNBC's Andrea Day with their stories of the American comeback.
The one word that best describes this past year is beyond.
For us, it's dynamic.
For me, it's horrific.
Three small businesses, one town, and all of them holding on.
I have very loyal customers. They were all behind me. They took care of me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
But even loyal customers couldn't revive sales at Frank's Pizza.
Hi, Frank's Pizza, Port Washington. We're down 30%. No, everything is a delivery. There's no such thing as catering. But that's okay. I can dig deep.
And she says digging deep helped her survive.
You know, we try and keep everybody busy, everybody working.
Down the street, a music school also trying to keep going.
We only have half the capacity filled and revenue just literally cut in half. Being able to go virtual, that was huge. That helped us tremendously.
There you go. Awesome.
Virtual lessons. And at the studio today, 6-foot dividers and plenty of masks.
And I just can't.
Not far from this music lesson, a sign company is trying to recover.
Here's the other part.
For 2020, our sales were down 30%. We saw a complete shutdown of our operations for about 3 months. It was a flurry of phone calls for people canceling. And within a week, it was a ghost town in here.
So they turned to smaller jobs.
People were stuck at home. We started making birthday signs and lawn signs.
And finally, some light at the end of the tunnel.
If I looked at the top 20 projects that got canceled in the first quarter of last year, more than half have come back.
And even though they faced so much stress and chaos here on Main Street over the past year, all of the owners tell us they learned some really big life lessons, too.
Stuff happens, and whether you do everything right, something is going to come and screw up the apple cart.
Positivity was the only thing that was ever going to get us through this.
I think that I'm more resilient than I ever thought I was, and that I'm actually a lot tougher. I really feel like we're in the home stretch here.
The future is bright. It feels really, really good.
It's going to boom. I think it's going to boom.
And Shep, get this. She actually has her first catering job in 15 months. Tonight. Now, it's an outdoor birthday party for about 20 people. She's so excited. She said she's back on track. She was like, I'm back on track. Shep?
Strong Island on point. Thanks, Andrea. Hours before America's latest mass shooting, President Biden promised executive action on gun control. Coming up, how much he can accomplish without Capitol Hill. And serious allegations of child abuse at a migrant shelter in Texas, including sexual assault and neglect. The accusations from the governor himself. Up next, the county commissioner responds. But you're going to want to buckle up for this one. A brand new airline and tickets for less than 20 bucks. Two of the nation's biggest automakers forced to pump the brakes. And that's what's topping CNBC's On the Money. GM reports it will temporarily slow down or stop production at three more of its North American plants because of the global semiconductor chip shortage. Same deal at Ford. Production there canceled next week at three of its U.S. plants. There's a new airline coming to the West Coast. Avalo taking off April 28th. The budget carrier is set to focus on travelers in western states who live near smaller airports.
They don't have to drive a long distance to get to the really busy airport and then deal with all the headaches and hassles of going through one of these really large airports that you have in a lot of our hub markets around the country.
Introductory one-way fares on Avelo advertised to start at 19 bucks. And Chipotle offering to send its employees to college for free. The restaurant chain says workers can pick from almost 100 degrees in agriculture, culinary arts, hospitality, and more. You just have to be on the job for at least 6 months. On Wall Street, the Dow up 57, the S&P up 17, the NASDAQ up 140. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news.
Zoom zombies on the road. The warning about going straight from your computer screen to the driver's seat. Tight restrictions, but a rise in COVID. Open for business and a drop in cases. Investigating the theories behind the different pictures of COVID across the country. And President Biden takes executive action on guns.
Gun violence in this country is an epidemic. Let me say it again. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment. Enough prayers. Time for some action.
Well, just hours after President Biden said those words and announced executive actions to reduce gun violence across America, or to hope to, there was another mass shooting, another community shattered, this time Bryan, Texas. Here are some of the ways President Biden is using his executive powers to try to stem the bloodshed. The president moving to crack down on ghost guns. They're the homemade firearms without serial numbers that you can build as a sort of kit and are virtually untraceable. The president also looking to help states create red flag laws, which allow family members and law enforcement to temporarily block people from buying or owning a gun if they're a danger to themselves or others. CNBC senior White House correspondent Kayla Tausche with a look at more of the president's actions. Kayla?
Shep, President Biden acknowledged his executive powers on this issue are limited, but the White House said the six actions being taken today are a start, requesting the Justice Department regulate those ghost gun kits and add-ons that convert pistols to rifles, one used by the shooter in Boulder a few weeks ago, directing funding to community prevention programs, and installing a gun control advocate in an enforcement role vacant since 2015. Sandy Hook Promise co-founder Mark Barden, who has worked with lawmakers since 2013, says today's orders, while modest, will save lives, and if introduced a decade ago, may have even saved his seven-year-old son, Daniel.
When the tragedy occurred at Sandy Hook, I think that could have been prevented. If folks have been trained how to know those warning signs and connected that individual to help, then that very likely could have been avoided.
But the White House says these actions must be coupled with action from Congress. On the campaign trail, Biden said that he would on day one work to repeal immunity for the gun industry, and today said that remains his top priority.
If I get one thing on my list, the Lord came down and said, Joe, you get one of these, give me that one.
Lawmakers have twice tried and failed to pass legislation on a bipartisan basis. One of the co-sponsors of that legislation, retiring Pennsylvania Republican Pat Toomey, seemed to hold out hope today in a statement saying, if done in a manner that respects the rights of law-abiding citizens, I believe there is an opportunity to strengthen our background check system so that we are better able to keep guns away from those who have no legal right to them. Now, Toomey is just one of two remaining Republicans who supported that effort back in 2013. 10 would be needed to overcome the filibuster. Shep?
Kayla, thank you. COVID progress. The CDC reports about one-third of all Americans have now received at least one vaccine dose. But that hasn't stopped COVID from surging in some regions. Health officials attribute it, at least in part, to the highly contagious variant first detected in the United Kingdom. The CDC director now says it's the most common COVID strain now spreading in the United States. Cases and hospitalizations are rising again as well in certain pockets of the country. But the experts explain the trends can really be confusing. For instance, some states with the most restrictions are seeing their numbers go up, while others who rush to reopen are seeing them drop. In Miami Beach, here's NBC's Sam Brock.
Call it a COVID conundrum. In states with the strictest measures in the country, like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and much of New England, cases are on the rise. While in the South, states like Arkansas and Texas that have reopened businesses and ripped away mask mandates are seeing their numbers drop.
I'm announcing today that the statewide mask mandate will be lifted.
People and businesses don't need the state telling them how to operate.
So what might explain the apparent contradiction? One theory, differences in testing rates. Alabama has experienced one of the biggest dips in reported infections, more than 50% in 2 weeks, but it's also dead last in the U.S. for COVID testing, only 56 tests per 100,000 people. That's a fraction of what you'll find in places like Vermont, Massachusetts, and New York, where numbers are surging.
How much does lack of adequate testing have to do with the numbers that we're seeing right now?
When you don't test, you're blind. And when you're not testing, you have a false sense of what the real problem is in your community.
Another theory, COVID fatigue. In Michigan, where people are just coming out of lockdown for the first time in months, cases are up more than 100% as demographics shift.
What's different in this wave is these are younger individuals between the ages of 30 and 60, the vast majority of which are not currently vaccinated.
Texas, on the other hand, began reopening its doors months ago and just jammed 40,000 people into the Rangers ballpark, many without masks.
A lot of individuals in the southern part of the U.S., and especially here in Texas, have already been exposed to the coronavirus. So many individuals already have coronavirus antibodies.
That leads us to the risky behavior we've seen in places like Miami Beach, Florida, where numbers have only increased slightly. And theory number three, that young people are acting as carriers. As doctors say, they're returning to other states, taking the virus with them.
Those are the least likely to show up for testing. And when those younger individuals infect older individuals or more vulnerable individuals, that takes time.
Bottom line, health experts say the falling figures in the South might be giving a false sense of security.
Do medical experts worry is emboldening those leaders who said this is a good idea to loosen restrictions?
We worry about if there's a perfect storm brewing. If we remember, this virus always takes 10 to 14 to 21 days to develop. We might just be seeing the early effects of that right now.
For the news, I'm Sam Brock.
Well, Latin America's biggest country posts a grim milestone as we go round the world on CNBC. Brazil, 8,000 COVID deaths in just the past 2 days, the most in that country over any 48-hour span. In fact, it's so bad, they're exhuming bodies from old graves in Sao Paulo to make room for more victims. Despite this, the president, Bolsonaro, standing by his opposition to nationwide lockdown, refusing even to commit to take a vaccine himself since he's already had the virus. Public health experts warn the virus is spreading so wildly in Brazil, it's become a breeding ground for new viral strains that could spread around the world. Northern Ireland, shades of the old troubles. Rioters set a hijacked bus on fire and hurl gasoline bombs at police in the capital of Belfast. It's at least the fourth night in a row of serious violence there, the worst in years. 55 officers injured in chaos, according to the police. The uprisings happening largely in Protestant areas, coming amid mounting tensions over the post-Brexit trade rules. It's wrecking relations between the political parties and Protestant and Catholic power-sharing government. And what you're seeing here is Kazakhstan, the next members of the International Space Station crew prepping for tomorrow's Russian Soyuz rocket launch. A NASA astronaut and two cosmonauts have been training together for the mission. Once they get to the ISS, there'll be a total of 14 crew members, and that's a record. The crew all vaccinated against COVID ahead of the launch. And that's our trip around the world. Lawyers working to reunite families separated by the Trump administration say they've found the parents of 61 more kids. That brings the number of children whose parents still haven't been found to 445. But the children are still coming in record numbers now. In March, the U.S. government picked up almost 19,000, they report, trying to cross the border alone. That's by far the most ever in any month, and twice as many as in February. Now, a San Antonio, Texas facility where some of those children are sheltering is coming under fire. The governor there, Greg Abbott, saying agencies have received reports of children being sexually assaulted, not eating, and being exposed to other children with COVID.
The Biden administration is now presiding over the abuse of children. To end this abuse, the Biden administration must immediately shut down this facility.
That county's commissioner says they're investigating. But after touring the facility, there was no proof of the sexual abuse allegations.
I think it's difficult for that to happen because it's such an open space. It's, you know, you're in an expo hall, you're not in individual rooms. There's lots of security and different individuals on premise. I actually think the governor, after his tour, having both of us seen the same thing, I don't think he'll reach the same conclusion. I think he's going to begin to walk that back.
He says that the children are under 24/7 supervision. There are about 200 COVID cases there, and all are quarantined. TikTok to the rescue. And the TV live stream gone wrong that turned a casual social media viewer into a real-life hero. Zoning out on a Zoom call? Probably not recommended. Zoning out behind the wheel? Now that's a hazard. Turns out the two are now going hand-in-hand, and the experts are worried. And we're just getting this in from NBC News and CNBC. There's just been a warning of volcanic eruptions in Puerto Rico. An alert just went out. The details coming up. The alert I mentioned before the commercial break, it's Dateline San Juan, Puerto Rico, discussing the Caribbean island of St. Vincent, where just yesterday local authorities warned that they believe an active volcano is in danger of exploding. They ordered mandatory evacuations. So far, nothing's happened. Should that change? We'll let you know. So is spending too much time on video calls turning us all into bad drivers? Here's the thing. Screen time has skyrocketed during the pandemic. And now there's a new survey that has some experts worrying it's causing people to zone out behind the wheel, kind of turning them into Zoom zombies. Concerning because last year, more than 42,000 people died in car crashes in the U.S., up 8% from 2019, according to the National Safety Council. And get this, with so much less driving last year, you'd think, there won't be as many wrecks, right? but we saw the biggest yearly increase in the highway death rate since 1924. CNBC's Phil LeBeau covers the auto industry for us. Some drivers say they have trouble concentrating right after a video call. Is that right?
Well, that's what they say, according to the survey by Root Insurance. They asked 1,800 drivers, Shep, what happens when you're driving? How much distracted driving do you see, et cetera? And 54%, more than half, said that they have trouble concentrating after they get off of a video call. That's the Zoom zombie headline that people are talking about. Here's the scary part. 60% admit to checking their phones, and even more worrisome, 30%. They think it's safe to check your phone, maybe even text, while you are behind the wheel. Bottom line is this, Shep. We see people doing this more and more, and it's not going away.
There are apps, though, to keep people from using their phones when they're driving. Are those working?
Yep. The technology works. There's also technology that's been built into the newest vehicles to keep you from using your phone or to tell somebody who's texting you or calling, I'm busy right now and I'll get back to you. The problem is people are not always using it. If you don't use it, it's no good. The only way you're going to stop texting, behind the wheel, or distracted driving, Shep, is if you have completely autonomous vehicles. Newsflash, we're not going to see completely autonomous vehicles for a long time. And I'm talking out past 2030.
Yeah, no matter what Mr. Musk says. Phil, thanks so much. Remember concerts? The sweat, the mosh pits, the burst eardrums, the good old days that took a break during COVID, obviously. And they'll be one of the last things to come back, they tell us, because you can't really socially distance at a real concert. Not like you can at a movie or a museum or whatever. And that's hurting our favorite venues and artists. So the government's stepping in to try to help, offering $16 billion in aid for music venues and other arts organizations. For one indie spot in San Francisco, whew, just in time. Here's CNBC's Kate Rogers.
After more than a year in the dark, independent music and theater venues are getting a much-needed lifeline from the Small Business Administration. Billions will be made available for operators as lovers of concerts and theater wait for the music to begin again. Advocates say these venues are a crucial part of the nation's comeback.
We are part of the backbone of our local economies because for every dollar spent at a small music venue on a ticket, $12 of economic activity is realized for area businesses. And so they recognize that if they want their communities to come back once it's safe to reopen fully, they're going to need this economic magnet of independent venues like ours.
The National Independent Venue Association estimates hundreds of venues have closed for good as the pandemic ravaged the industry in 2020. At the Independent in San Francisco, business is down nearly 100% over the last year, with merchandise sales bringing in a tiny bit of revenue. The grant program can't come soon enough, with operators hopeful the aid will tide them until events start up in the back half of the year, as vaccines continue to roll out and fans get more comfortable in the new normal.
We've had some early indicators in the industry, some festivals that have gone on sale and some tours that have gone on sale that have all blown out on the on sale. So it really, I'm really optimistic about the demands out there. And we can't wait to open our doors.
Now, the last show here at the Independent was more than a year ago in March with the band Little Jesus. And while owners like Alan were really eager to get their applications in today, the SBA portal had some technical difficulties. It actually shut down before people could even submit their applications. So after a more than a year of waiting, Shep, these frustrated owners are really wondering how much longer they can hang on.
Kate, thank you. Teenagers spend a lot of time on TikTok, right? So do some adults. Last weekend, it paid off for a 13-year-old boy in New Hampshire. He used the app to save another boy's life 800 miles away. Caden Contner says he was on TikTok Live watching a 12-year-old Trent Jarrett ride an ATV when it suddenly flipped over and landed on him. The kid says he could hear Jarrett gasping for air.
That was probably the hardest part to listen to. He was just praying that somebody was there to help him.
And Contner says he could hear Jarrett repeating a phone number. So he told his parents, and they called the kid's family. They found him 20 minutes later, trapped under that four-wheeler, struggling to breathe, but otherwise okay. Contner says Jarrett called him to thank him that night. Fans across America taking themselves out to the ballpark, and they aren't the only ones glad to be back. Just ask Jimmy Wilson, working for the Nats since day one. Then COVID kept him away for a year and a half. Coming up, a homecoming at home opener. And slowly but surely, the country's coming back to life. But first, a quick stop or 10 at the gym. Up next, the all-out rush to leave the pandemic and its pounds behind. Major League Baseball's opening week wraps up tomorrow. We saw sunshine and snow, a lot of fastballs, and some COVID curveballs. Like in D.C., where the Nationals had their first four games postponed due to the virus. But D.C.'s opening day was worth the wait. A year and a half since they got to play in front of the home crowd, the Nats gave them a thrill. Coming from behind with a walk-off against the Braves. A good day to root for the home team, or to work for it. Jimmy Wilson's been doing both in Washington for four decades now. The pandemic caused a bit of a rain delay, but this week, he finally got home. Here's NBC's Vaughn Hilliard.
Who are you?
Jimmy Wilson.
Did you go to the ballpark at all this last year?
No. We weren't allowed to.
His name is Jimmy. He's worked the stands at Washington sporting events since the 1980s, including every season of the Washington Nationals' existence.
You were there?
Yes.
Opening day?
Opening day.
George Bush threw out the first pitch, am I wrong?
Yes, indeed.
But last season, the pandemic left Jimmy no ballpark to supervise, only the health of his own family.
Where did you spend your time?
Home.
How much of your time at home?
99.9%.
You seem like a social man to me.
Yeah, I am. The virus is no joke. Nobody come visit me at all. Nobody come to my house at all for a whole year.
Nobody visited you?
No one. Don't come here because you're not coming in.
We get to the ballpark on this Tuesday afternoon and spot Jimmy down the road. A hug within seconds. His first day back on the job. It was opening day for the Washington Nationals baseball team, but also what could be called reopening day for Jimmy and hundreds of other game day employees.
Have you got your vaccine?
Yes, 3 weeks ago. Johnson. I'm ready to get back in and act with the fan.
That's amazing.
Because we got a great fan in baseball.
It doesn't take Jimmy long to run into friends he hasn't seen in a year and a half.
This man is a legend, I'll tell you what.
He's known Nationals employee Scott Fear for nearly 40 years.
Condone is a lover, seriously.
When was the last time you were at this ballpark?
In the World Series in October of 2019.
In fact, the Nationals won the 2019 World Series, and he hasn't returned here since then. This, a view this 79-year-old man yearned for from his home.
How you doing, man?
And now, double-masked, soft-spoken, his mere presence here makes the idea that this is more than a game, the actual truth in 2021.
Missing baseball last year was, I tell you, just like going to bed without a bed. You just sleep on the floor. That's how I feel about going to baseball.
How are you doing? Jimmy's one of the most cherished people in this ballpark.
Hey, we love him.
One thing I miss most, but the employees and the fans out here, you know.
Only a few thousand fans allowed into the stadium for the season start, but Jimmy will be there to supervise it to its full capacity again. Because for Jimmy Wilson, this year, his day-to-day concern will be a baseball season.
For the news, I'm Vaughn Hilliard.
Ready for your home opener? Your home opener, as in the door gets open and you get the heck out of the house? I feel you. But as the country starts coming back to life, some people are using a pretty different notch in their belt, right? Some home fitness saw big growth last year, but so did some of our waistlines. Change is coming, and fast. All over, couch potatoes are transforming into gym rats. Here's our resident fitness fanatic, CNBC's Diana Olick.
With the world shut down for the past year, there's been a lot of this, this, and this. Now, armed with vaccines, we're supposed to get back out there?
Do you mean I need to get back to the wardrobe that I purchased that I can no longer fit into? Yes.
We're getting just a little bit closer to when everything's going to be open up, and we want to be our, look our best and feel our best.
42% of Americans reported an undesired weight gain due to COVID, according to the American Psychological Association. Average increase, 29 pounds.
It was fun to make sourdough bread. It was fun to make banana bread. But the result of that is not great.
which is why gyms and streaming fitness companies are suddenly now seeing a surge in new demand and overall workouts. Crunch saw member visits up 30% in March over February. It also saw its strongest new membership sales in a year, despite its huge footprint in major cities like New York, L.A., and San Francisco, which still have heavy gym restrictions.
We're forecasting that the big boom is September. When we've gotten through the summer, the kids are back to school. There's some normalcy with businesses opening offices again.
Barry's Boot Camp said March studio attendance was up 31% over February and 48% over January. Its streaming workouts are also strong.
5 more seconds!
At Orange Theory, memberships are up 17% from January, with the biggest jump, 9%, in the past month.
We're getting a lot of people now that haven't seen us over the winter that are ready, and they're like realizing this has been a long time coming. It's been over a year since I've done any type of workout, and I'm really desperate to get back into shape.
The gym industry itself is also desperately trying to get back in shape. Many small gyms have gone out of business, and most are still struggling under rent and payroll obligations. Other industries, though, that should get a quick boost now, especially the beauty business, there is talk of an impending Botox boom. Not here, of course, Shep.
Not you, Diana. Thank you. 55 seconds left on a race to the finish. Two mass shootings in fewer than 24 hours. Police in Bryan, Texas say at least one person is dead, six others hurt, after an employee shot up a warehouse. The suspect in custody, a state trooper among those shot chasing the suspect. And investigators in South Carolina say an ex-NFL player killed five people, including a doctor and his own two young grandchildren, before killing himself. Today, President Biden took executive actions on guns, but says he's calling for Congress to act themselves and strip the gun industry of its lawsuit immunity. And now, you know the news. Of this Thursday, April the 8th, 2021, I'm Shepard Smith. Thanks for having us in tonight. We sure do appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The News on CNBC. See you tomorrow. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.